Right, hello and welcome back to the Developer's Guide to Windows 10 Insider Preview. I'm Andy and got with me Jerry here. We've got to talk now. We're going to cover the topic of localizing your app.
Yes, localizing your apps. Now, Andy, it might be true that love is the international language, but you can't code your app in it.
Gosh, that is so poetic.
I know it. I kind of brought it home with that.
Wow, you did.
Yeah. Make apps, not war, you know. Anyway, localizing your application is really about two things. It's about the language that your application is in, but it also has a little bit to do with globalization, which is a different concept altogether. Globalization is the thing where you actually have metaphors in your application and you want to make sure those metaphors play through to every culture that you're trying to reach. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about this localization, but we're also going to talk about the multilingual toolkit, which is provided by Microsoft, provided by the Bing language team, as a matter of fact, and all of the benefits it'll bring to you as a developer to streamline and speed up the process of creating of translating your application into multiple languages. There you go. I knew I'd hit it. All right, so let's talk about localization. So this guy in this picture, he's ready, right? He's looking at the app, and he looks up to say, hey, this is in my language. This is what you want your users to do, right? They get excited, very excited. Here's a reality, just a reality check. Less than 50% of the world speaks English. Andy?
Yes.
You are English.
I am English, yeah.
Less than 50% of the world is English.
Yes. Yeah.
All of those things.
That is so true. And actually, if you look at the stats for where apps are being sold on the Windows platform, obviously, clearly, we're in territories worldwide. And
that's exactly right. More than 70% of the revenue and installation of applications on the Windows platform is outside of the United States.
That's right. Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. I think in order to hit the highest kind of usage, and it obviously depends on your app and which market you're selling into.
Yeah.
But in general terms, you clearly want to cover English, but Spanish, of course, is spoken a lot of places in the world, and we have a lot of very popular markets where apps are being purchased. And
that's right.
Yeah, and
Chinese is a popular language.
And Chinese, of course, yeah. Those kind of are the big three, and then it depends on, like I say, on your territory and what you're
popular. I guess it's not catching on. It's just popular. There's a bunch of those guys.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, no getting around it.
Yeah.
Okay, so attempting localization inside a XAML application is actually quite simple. Before we even talk about the syntax, though, remember that you need to plan for this ahead of time. Retrofitting your application for a second language is absolutely possible, but certainly not as simple as doing it up front. Really, the XUID, this attribute you'll put on any sort of UI element, this is the key. XUID is not a unique name, right? It's not like XName or anything like that. This is what you put to flag that this control is going to be a localized control. And it's not only localized in its string. So I may be showing, I'll do a sample here in just a second. And I'll do a sample where I switch out the title. So I'll take the string and I'll translate it into another language. But that's not necessarily the only thing you need to do. You might also need to change the size of the font, because the language that I'm translating it into, let's say it's German, their words are gigantic. And so if you're translating into some gigantic word, you might actually need to reduce the font slightly so that there's room for that inside your application, right?
Or allow in your layout to account for the fact that the length of the string could be longer. So there's a couple of ways of doing it. Yep.
Some languages go from right to left. Some languages go from left to right. And so you need to shift these things around as well. And so there's a lot of things we can do there. And you'll see this localization tooling inside XAML allows you to do all of those. Okay, so let's start with this XUID. So it doesn't have to be unique, and you can put it on almost any element. I said almost, but I actually think it's every element. I don't think there's any limit that I know of. And then we have the ability to store these values, not just strings, but certainly text strings we can store in our resources.resw. So .NET developers are familiar with the resx file. This is our ability to store kind of a name value pair. And then the resw is the implementation for Windows apps. Resw is a little bit different in that it stores specifically strings. It's an XML file behind the scenes. And so I think it is an XML file, isn't it? I think it is, actually.
Yeah, it is.
And you have an editor. I really couldn't remember. All right, so we have that, and then we have this idea around globalization, which is what we talked about before, where I'm going to implement something and I'm going to make sure that certain colors are used, certain imagery is used, but that may not be appropriate in certain cultures, and it may actually find that it doesn't get the message across or make it so that your application is as well accepted. So globalization is familiarity in sort of the context of a culture to make sure your application's doing it right, right? So we're going to be not talking about globalization, which of course is important. We're going to be talking about localization and not just around strings. Okay, app language is automatic and programmatic. So what does that really mean? What we're talking about is the selection of the language. So what language does your application show up in? Well, this is determined by what the Windows operating system is set to show. So right now, mine is defaulted to English US, and so applications will automatically default to English US. In that way, it's automatic, but it's also programmatic in that the app writer could actually go in and override that and make sure their application shows in a specific language. This allows me to leave Windows in one language, but go into an application and tweak the culture or tweak the region or language to make sure it looks the way I want without having to change my operating system. This can be a very popular way of interacting with an app, especially when you're doing it, when you speak a second language, but where you work or what you're doing, you don't want to change the primary language. Makes sense to me. All right, so let's talk about string resources and specifically where those go. And so by convention, and only convention, we create a root folder called strings.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that, but that's...
In fact, it could be right off the root if you really want to do it.
Yep.
I liked it. Is that where you put yours too?
It is, yeah. Follow the convention on that. But yeah, you can do this with other stuff as well, you know, your images and things. It doesn't matter. It's the name of the locale needs to be embedded somewhere in that path. So
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so the subfolder that's created there is the locale identifier. So in this case, it is E in US, right? That's English for the United States. And it's not case sensitive, I should point out. You see it in this case, so that's the reason I wrote it that way. But so this is me saying everything inside this subfolder are resources for this specific locale identifier. Then you create the resw file, just named resources. You don't have to do anything. I don't even know if you can change the name. I think it has to be resources, actually. I'm not 100% sure about that. Anyway, the system itself will hunt for inside your application something that meets that string, trying to find the resw file under it, and loads that up automatically using the resource loader, which we'll talk about shortly. That resource loader then feeds out to the system automatically. You don't have to interact with it at all, but you certainly can, and we'll show why that makes sense to do.
Yeah, that's right. And it's worth mentioning, of course, that these folders here that you're creating, you're going to create them for all the different locales that you are supporting. Doing it through folders like that is the conventional way of doing it, but there are other overrides that are recognized. You can embed it in the file name as well. There's kind of all sorts of weird ways that you can specify different resources. Yeah. And the MRT system will just pick it up and will recognize what it is you're asking it to do.
Yep, that's right. So this might be how your project ends up looking, its folder structure, right? So you may have this blank project, and under it you would have your strings, then the locale, and then the resources file under it. So I do this, you see, this is a typical implementation, so you see it over and over, but you're right, it's just a convention. All right, so that's me talking about it. I'd like to kind of show it to you so you could see what this, how simple it is, because it really is straightforward. And of course, it remains simple as long as you're planning for it, and it feels difficult as soon as you're not planning for it and you have to retrofit your application. All right, so I'm inside Visual Studio. I'm gonna start just a blank project, so there's no extra pieces. This is our blank template 10 project. I'm gonna create that folder structure that we've already talked about. Let's see, I was building just then. Let me wait just a moment. And now I'm gonna create a folder. Yeah, there we go. It's strings, remember? That's where I like to put all of these things. You can put it in whatever you want, of course. And then I'll create a next one. This one will be E in US. What's the locale indicator for your language?
ENGB.
ENGB. All right. So now it's not a resource dictionary. This is a resource file. And so in here, I can start to put my strings. You can see it's just name value pair and conveniently a little comment so I can kind of indicate what it is. But let's start by editing our application. And we'll try and translate a few strings here or set one up here. All right, so this is a hub control. And so let me make this easier and just start from scratch. So this is a blank hub control. And its background, I'll make it black just so we can make sure to see it, and its foreground will be white. But what's important here is what I set its header to be. So in this case, I'm going to say it's just a placeholder, because seeing this text will let me know it's going to be localized. But I'll add the XUID and give it a name. So this is an identifier, but not a unique identifier. It's the app hub control. That's just what we'll call it, because that's how we'll reference it back in our resources. So here I can say app hub control dot header. So that's the text of the header for the hub. And in this case, I'll say its text is going to be the Contoso to-do app, right? That's all it is. That's just going to be the title. Now, what's nice is it's going to do two things. I'm going to set its foreground here to, instead of being white, because you saw me explicitly set it, I'll set it to blue. So I'm setting the header, which is the text, but I'm also going to set the color, right, which is obviously a property value that'll be interpreted for me. So you don't see this at design time, which is great. So my designer kind of closed on me. Let me reload the designer.
That never happens to me.
That never happens to you? Yeah. Yeah. I like that mine defaults at ARM, which is terrific. Anyway, so seriously, let me run this on local machine, and you'll see it doesn't say white placeholder title with white text. Instead, it's going to say, I hope, the Contoso to-do app, right? Because that defaulted to ENUS, that's on my machine. And it's going to show that it's obviously that it's in blue as well, because it's pulling everything from that resource file. So that's pretty powerful and easy. Obviously, I'm only changing one thing, but again and again, different objects need to be named with this XUID as a reference point for the resources to be able to set them. So if I have another, let's just say, app hub control somewhere else, I can reuse that name. Even if I have two on the same page, I can reuse that name. It's really a reference point for resources. Okay, earlier.
It's worth mentioning as well that you can do this with the manifest. So you can put stuff like the display name. If you put ms-resource colon, and then again the key name, so whatever, the equivalent of the UID name, then you can pull that out of the resource file. So you can do stuff extending beyond the XAML bit as well. So
yeah, to make sure I'm following what you're saying. You're saying I can put it in the resources file like that.
Yeah.
But I can call out of it directly into the manifest, so that it shows up correctly as a primary button and stuff.
Well, it's a localized version of the display name, the app name, or something. So when you go into a French, you get the right name appearing in the apps list. So that's another facet of this.
So the resource loader is your ability to call directly into that resources file from code behind, which is really important because not everything is declared XAML object. Sometimes you're going to send out an alert. And whatever that alert is, that's going to have some sort of message you're presenting to the user, but that user needs to see a localized version of that string. So in this case, I'm calling into the loader three different times. So first I go and just get it, right? Windows.applicationModel.resources.resourceloader, get for current view. The MRT then, which is the Modern Resource Technology, it's a beautiful name, is the thing that's responsible for going to get it. But then I use the get string once I have the loader, and I pass in whatever its unique key is, anything that I want, by the way. And so if I am going to have an object dot something, right? And so in this case, I can get the button, or this could be a dash. This is really my way of saying that I have a message ID, and it has three other values that I want to be able to capture. So in this case, I can get the title message and then the button text. And you can see down, I'm creating a content dialog. Of course, we are replacing the message dialog in Windows 10 with the content dialog. That's why I'm using a content dialog, where I can set its title, set its message, or its content. And then I can also set the primary button text. And so all of that is being set not as default strings. No, it's being set as localized strings that pull from whichever resource file is appropriate for the current context. So it'll switch that out, and the resource loader handles all that for me. So this is an important and often misstep where an error message appears, and it says, an error message pops up and says, you have to enter in your phone number in order for this to work. but you left that in English and the rest of your application is in Spanish. And so now all of a sudden the user struggles to really understand what's going on, something like that. And so it makes sense to think about all of the strings, and that X colon UID makes it really easy for you to localize strings and localize properties inside your declared XAML. This is how you would do it in everything else.
And it's worth mentioning as well, I mean, strings is the obvious one that everybody thinks about and is a most important part of localizing your app. But there's more subtleties than that, like images, for example. So you can use this exact same structure, folder structure, with locales in it and put localized versions of images. So if you've got a background image on your app and it's got some text embedded in the image or something, you know, you can actually have unique images, if you want, for different language versions of your app.
So you could put it right next to the resources file if you wanted to.
You could do that, absolutely, yeah. That's convention, whether you want to do that. I might do that in an images folder or something, but underneath that you have en-us, en-gb, fr, or whatever locales it is you're supporting.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing about all of this,
yeah, tell me,
as an aside, is that all the language resources that you are building into your app, they don't all get shipped. When somebody downloads your app, they don't get all of the stuff for languages that they haven't got specified on their machine.
Come on, is that right?
Nah, this is the clever stuff. This is the store does this clever stuff. It actually, the user installs an app, they get only the resources, and the same works with images at the scale factors, you know, the resolution of their device. They only get what they need on that device. So the packaging system is clever enough to divide it all up and only ship what's needed. So it's not like you're bloating your package and the user has to download all the resources for 14 languages. No, they just get the ones they need. If they change the language of their phone, then the store will automatically refresh in the background. It's clever stuff.
Yeah, it's really neat. You're right about that.
Clever stuff.
All right, let's talk about the multilingual toolkit. So, see this lady. I mean, she's really excited. She's reading about it right now, the multilingual toolkit. The developer of that app accidentally put the wrong string, and she's having a really good laugh.
She's having a good smirk.
That's hilarious. That developer obviously does not do it. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Microsoft unlocks other languages with the multilingual toolkit because it's a way of tapping into the Bing language services, which are very powerful and include a lot of things for you, the developer, not just the ability to translate, which is nice, but it also includes things like professionally translated strings, which are all rolled into the MAT, Microsoft MAT, Multilingual Application Toolkit.
Yep.
MAT. I don't know if we call it MAT, but it is. We do refer to it as MAT. Let's call it MAT for here.
MAT for us.
All right, so let's learn a little bit about MAT. So first of all, MAT supports the XLF file. The XLF file is very standard. If you are in the translation business, Andy, you would know about the XLF.
This is how they commonly ship language resources around for external translation.
So these smart guys who are part of the application or the multilingual kit here, they did not create their own file format, which is just great, right? They're using one that we already know. And there's two things here. Not only does it read in XLF, but it also provides an editor that doesn't even require Visual Studio in order to interact with the XLF. And I'll show you here in just a second what that looks like. This is inside of Visual Studio as well. So what's beautiful is this is all integrated into your project. It understands the build process. It allows you to integrate these strings, and we'll show you how you don't have to create a folder for every single possible variant of a language. It's really nice. It kind of handles it all for you. All right, so this actually makes a note for me here that there are professionally translated strings that sort of come from Office. We did a lot of work for certain strings, and you kind of get the benefit of those as well, which is nice. Sometimes the translation service will need to provide you suggestions because it doesn't know for sure, but it'll always try. All right, this is a free community tool, by the way, that you can use outside of Visual Studio and other kinds of projects if that's what you want. You absolutely can. You absolutely can. A little trade secret. So if you are dead set on not using Visual Studio, but you've watched this session this far,
I can't imagine why you would. You must have.
Now you've got a benefit that you never knew you had. All right, let's go through and see what it looks like to do the installation. This is the multilingual toolkit. 4.0 technical preview. Of course, Windows is also an insider preview right now, and so is the toolkit. And so I'll go and get that, and I'll install this as an extension, which of course are just tools, extensions in Visual Studio. Once this is installed, obviously I'll go through the installation process here, but once that's installed, I need to enable it. So I'll have my project open, and I'll wonder, how does this toolkit work? The reason it's not working is because I haven't enabled it yet. So in the Tools menu, I can just go down and say Multilingual Toolkit, Enable Selection. So that really means enable the selected project. And from that point forward, it will start to interact with the MS Build target.
It does its magic.
Yeah, that's right. It's magic. That's what it's all black magic. So then I go over to the project itself and right-click it, and I can go to the Multilingual Toolkit menu option, and from there I can add a new translation. And what's beautiful is I don't just add a new language, I can add new languages, right? I can really go crazy. Your first language resource file ends up being a template for all of the later ones. So that ENUS that we created had two entries. So now as I start to do translations, I'll have two entries. And so this is a translation service, not the tool for setting up all of your resources. You set all of those up, then you use the toolkit to do the translation of them. Nice. All right, so here's what it might look like. When I go in to select which one I'm going to use, I can filter down the language. Man, so many languages.
Yeah.
So many languages, it's crazy. Including, I don't mind pointing out, Klingon.
Yes, Klingon is there.
Klingon is in there. I can't believe I didn't put that in the demo. I cannot believe it. We would have had to cut it out, I'm sure. All right, so here we go. Once I have added a language, in this case I added French, there's a new file that's added for me, the XLF file in the Multilingual Resources folder. So this is what I start to interact with from this point forward. I don't go into the Resources folder or the Strings folder. I just leave that alone. Everything from this point forward is all in the XLF. And I can right-click that XLF, by the way, and I can say, just do it. And it sends it off to Bing for me, does all the translations, and comes back. It's really, really neat.
Don't ship your app after that, immediately at that point.
Andy, why are you being so cautious?
Well, let me tell you a story. So I did an app, one of my first apps on Windows Phone way back, and I was working at the time at a company, and there was a guy who worked on the team, and he was a native German speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to ship German language for this app.
Yeah, of course.
So I said to him one day, I said, you know, would you help me out here? Because I'm trying to do a few languages. I've done French. I can kind of do that myself. And we got English.
I'm sure he said, yes, the Germans are really helpful.
And yeah, he couldn't help more. You know, he said, yeah, absolutely, love to do it. And so he went away and he came back. I gave him an Excel spreadsheet, I think, in this case, and he came back with the relevant translations written in, and he kind of looked a bit worried as he handed it over to me. I said, well, you know, I hope that's all right. I was kind of struggling with some of the technical terms and some of the terminology, and thinking what was the, because he'd been in Britain so long, he'd kind of forgotten. Anyway, we shipped the app, you know, and it was all very good.
You took the warning in stride and thought, I'm sure it's fine too.
Yeah. So I shipped the app, and then I started getting curious comments back from people who were saying, the German's really strange, it's this sort of thing. And anyway, it turns out he was a Swiss German who had been living in the UK for like 20 years. And German and Swiss German are really quite different.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you have to be very careful. And also machine-translated languages tend to be only
robotic.
There or thereabouts, you know, they're not going to be right. You really need to, anything you get back from the automated translation services, you need to have a native of the right locale actually review it and make sure it's accurate.
I was really hoping you had gotten in trouble from this app.
No.
Like something bad had gone down.
No, it wasn't that bad.
No.
It wasn't that bad.
It was a pretty good story.
Just a few poor reviews, I'm afraid. Nothing more exciting than that. Yeah.
Like you got in a fist fight, lost your job, so much. But again, the Germans aren't like that.
Not at all.
They're easily forgiving.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the Multilingual Toolkit insofar as a demo. I think it'll make sense for me to show you kind of how to use it. I think you're going to be surprised how easy this is to use. Now, don't forget, I already have this installed. So this is my project, and everything is waiting to go. And remember, step number one, right, is to go to the Tools menu and enable the toolkit, right? So once you do that, it kind of tweaks it around and makes it all ready to go. You don't visually see a difference, except for now I have this little menu option of the Multilingual App Toolkit where I can add a translation. So now we get to pick what language we're going to do it in. So here I'll just search for French. That's what we were doing in our little snapshot. So I'll do French, right? Not Canadian French or the thousands of other
versions. At this moment, we haven't got any French resources in this project.
That's right. There's nothing but ENUS.
But now we do.
Now we do, as well as the XLF in the multilingual resources folder. All right, so now I want to open this inside the toolkit. So I will double click it. And when I do, the toolkit editor, this is the multilingual editor that pops up. And remember, it runs outside of Visual Studio, so anybody could install this. Right? And so you can see the translation is right there, and it translated blue to blue, right? Which we know is not going to work, right? We have to, that's not the way we translate colors in XAML. So I can mark it as not translatable, and then you can see it's apt-to-contoso instead of the Contoso app. Yeah. Right, it's pretty cool. I can also go to suggestions and say, well, how many are there and can I choose from other choices? And you can see there's other choices I can choose from there. And this is particularly good when you're working with somebody and you're like, well, I'm not quite sure. Well, here's five options. Which one is the closest? That sort of
thing.
That's
cool.
Right, yeah. So here's the XLF, right? This is just the standard format that I can ship off to a professional house if I want to. All right, so here comes my application. It is going to say Contoso to-do app, right? This is what we already did before. Still blue. And it is also in English. So I need to change my language inside Windows here to French. And remember, it's not French, it is French.
Yeah.
And more importantly, I need to move this up to be the default language. So now English is no longer my default language, French is. So now when I run my application, which I'll just run it again on my local machine, it will default to the language of my machine. So it'll pop up, and not only will it be in French, apt-to-contoso, but it'll also be red because I changed that blue not to allow it to translate into blue, right? But instead to translate into a color that's appropriate for this language. So red's not appropriate for French, I don't mean that. I just mean every language can have its own set of properties.
That's cool.
It's so easy to use, so simple. It doesn't really make, with so much opportunity and so many things in the marketplace that say you really should reach out to a broader audience, it really doesn't make sense for this to be that easy and not to localize your app at the same time.
And it's just to say, it's also worth mentioning about the MRT system that's built into Windows. It's very smart.
Yeah.
So you saw all those different flavors of French there. But if somebody from Belgian French was to run this app, they would get the French because it would pick the best fit.
Yeah, that's
and it would,
right.
And it would see that the French was closest to what the requested language would be, which would be Belgian French.
I wonder how different Belgian French is from French.
Subtly, I'd imagine.
I imagine. It seems like it'd be more polite. Now, one thing, of course, you could do, right? I could look at that list of languages, select them all, Control-A, say go, and every single language, the toolkit would take care of translating all the strings all at once using the Bing services on the back end, and it's done just that fast. And, well, I don't know if it's that fast, but, you know, it's still, it would be nice and quick.
And then you'd have to go through and check every
All of them would
200.
Be there. I could ship it, and I would support the entire world, every possible one, but, of course, that would not go well with our little suggestion slide here of remember to validate your strings before you publish.
There you go.
Every developer, every publisher needs to decide what that means for them. Does it mean you trust the guy who speaks German, but he's just not living in Germany? Maybe, right? But that may or may not work out. The most important thing really isn't just the pleasure of your app to be in the language of the user so that they understand and feel comfortable in your app. That's important. But we absolutely don't want to offend anybody either. You could definitely go the wrong direction on some things. So both of those things come into play, right? Where you're like for sure not going to say the wrong thing, but at the same time you want to make this application feel like a warm blanket for everybody so that I don't speak this language as my primary language, so I can swap over to the language that is my primary language. Your application suddenly feels so much better, and I prefer yours over all of the others in the marketplace because of that, because you've gone to that extra step to localize it into my language. It's a real benefit. It's a real benefit.
Yeah. So that's cool. We've been through localizing your app, looking at the XUID in XAML. We've looked at the great tooling we've got through the multilingual toolkit. So you've got great tools there to do a great job.
Yeah, we really do. This has been a good day, Andy. We've talked about a lot of things that you, the developer, get to do inside your Windows application, things that are new to Windows 10, things that are enhanced, really, from Windows 8, and some things that are just really great design patterns and things for you to think about to make your application more successful. We're going to take a break here at the end of the day. Go and see if we can find ourselves something to eat. Come back tomorrow, and we'll learn more together then. We'll see you in the morning.
See you.